Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the great feast of the Epiphany is very ancient. It's one of the most venerable and wonderful feasts in the whole of the Church's calendar. In fact, over the course of the centuries, in some countries, particularly in the East, and even today in some areas, it's been celebrated as the main feast of the Christmas season, rather than December 25th. And perhaps the theme of our reflections this morning has already been summed up beautifully in the response that we've recited to the psalm. All the nations of earth shall adore him. You know, when an opera begins, there's always an overture, right? And very often, you'll hear the orchestra playing before the curtain opens. One or more themes that are going to be heard again, developed more fully once the opera develops and gets underway in its fullness. And perhaps we can see the visit of the Magi, the wise men, to the infant Jesus as a kind of little overture that symbolizes beautifully something which we'll see developing little by little and becoming more manifest during the childhood and finally the adult life of our Lord and Savior. In fact, the very word epiphany means manifestation, becoming made known. Why do we say that we can see this wonderful scene that we have in our crib there as a kind of overture to the life of Jesus? Because it sums up the whole reason why Jesus has come to earth. Again, in the words of the response this morning, so that all the nations on earth may adore him. The three great feasts of the Christmas season, we can see them as answering three different questions about the great mystery of the Incarnation. Christmas, then the other day, Friday, we had Mary, the Mother of God, for the New Year's Day Mass, and now the Epiphany. The three questions about God's coming to earth: what, how, and why? Three big questions, right, that are always important. On Christmas Day, we celebrate what happened, the very wonderful fact that God has become man, that he's been born as one of us. On New Year's Day, celebrating Mary as Mother of God, that answers the question as to how the Incarnation took place. How did God become a man? By being born, like each one of us, from a mother. God could have done anything if he wanted to become a man. He could have just appeared in the sky as a fully adult man and just came down. Here I am, folks. No, he wanted to enter fully into our human history. And so he's born of a tender young mother, as we celebrated on Friday, just 2 days ago. And finally, today, the liturgy answers the question, why? Why did God become man? Again, so that all of the nations on earth would adore him, that they could all be saved through the power of this wondrous infant Jesus. It's worth emphasizing again and again that the Magi were foreigners, Gentiles. They didn't belong to the Jewish race. That's why they represent all of the nations of the earth. In a symbolic way, again like a little overture that anticipates the main theme before the main story begins. None of us here probably has Jewish blood in the biological sense, but we've become people of Israel. The new Israel is the church. We're all adopted sons and daughters of God through our baptism and faith. All the nations of the earth. If we looked at the different countries and continents from which we have ancestry, those of us who are here in church today, there'd be quite a variety. That wonderful universality of the church and of God's salvation was brought home to me in a very special way. Something that happened to me that I'll share with you 30 years ago when I was living in Rome. In fact, it was 31 years ago now. Every year on the Feast of the Epiphany, Pope St. John Paul II had a beautiful custom. Every Feast of the Epiphany, he would ordain a group of new bishops from all around the world to show that universality of the church. In that year, I was already a deacon. My priestly ordination was coming up in a few months' time. We're talking about the year 1985. And to my great joy, I and another deacon from the seminary where we were living, being trained under Monsignor McCarthy's supervision, we were chosen to be two of the deacons who would assist in a very direct way at that beautiful mass of ordination of the new bishops. I don't know if any of you have ever been to a mass for the ordination of a bishop, but it's long and complicated, very solemn, very splendid. And each priest who's going to be raised to the dignity of a bishop has to be attended by two deacons. One to carry his new mitre that he's going to wear, and he said, another one to carry the crozier, the symbol represents a shepherd's staff. And the other deacon and I were chosen to attend one of the new bishops. So I woke up that morning full of joy, and I looked out the window, and to my astonishment, there was a sight that is very rare in Rome. This was the 6th of January, 1985. The biggest snowfall in many years had fallen. Now, Rome is on the Mediterranean. They don't have too much snow in Rome, but there was white all over the place. A beautiful blanket of white, almost like symbolizing the innocence of Mary and the newborn Jesus. The Romans are not very well-organized people when it comes to looking after snowy streets, and there was a lot of chaos that day. But luckily, my deacon friend and I, we had no problem because our college was right near the subway, so we went underground and got to St. Peter's Basilica on time, no problem. We had been asked to attend a new bishop, a priest who's going to be made a bishop, from Angola, Africa. And during the Mass, we had the privilege of being there, right up close to the Holy Father. But it was wonderful to see, depicted in such a tremendous way, the fulfillment of that prophecy, which is represented by the Magi. All the nations of the earth coming to adore the newborn Jesus. Pope John Paul had selected priests from all the different continents in the world. From Africa, like the bishop we attended. And North and South America, from my own country, Australia, and from Asia, from everywhere. And so it was a group of about eight priests who were all being made bishops by the Holy Father. And as we gathered around there, you could see different races, different colors of skin, beautiful testimony to the fact that Jesus has come to save all the different nations and races and peoples on earth. And during the offertory procession, it was also very beautiful because, as well as bringing up the bread and wine, the relatives of all those new bishops, of course, they'd come to Rome for the occasion, their brothers and sisters and uncles and nephews and so on, and the people brought up gifts from their own country, something typical, all dressed in their traditional native costume. How beautiful to see all the riches of all the different cultures and nations on earth, all coming to adore the newborn king. That adoration, dear brothers and sisters, that we too are invited to share, just as the Magi brought their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We're invited to bring our gifts, above all the gift of our heart, to love him, the newborn king, knowing that he has come to save us, to give us the gift of eternal life. May he bring us closer to him in this beautiful Feast of the Epiphany, that we too may do what we can to share the good news, so that even more all the nations and peoples of earth will come to adore him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.